When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Boom. We are live. We are live. We are live. Yep. You know the rules. Dream it. Believe it. Become it. Coming up. 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. That light looks a little bit dark in here. My apologies. Tunde, as you know, has got a big fight coming up. That is way better, don't you think? Now you can see me a lot better. Tunde's got his fight with Anthony Yard coming up. It's this Saturday coming up. So he's got his fight. So Tunde's going to be back next week, Sunday. Don't know how much I miss my brother for another mother. Start the show, dream it, believe it, become it. Got loads of things to discuss right now. We're going to be joined with quite a few guests. So we can't really bring everybody in. Otherwise, I left it on an open floor. You guys could click and then jump in. But that's not the case. Hi, Miss Ringside. How you doing? Yep. Catalia, how are you doing? Miss Ringside, big up. Nathan Bailey, Alan Skills, Daniel Grace. I pray everything's going good with you as well. Dan, we spoke earlier today. Bobby Wright. Right, Bobby, bless us with some cash today, Bobby. Bless us with some cash to start the ball rolling, bro. I guess you saw the fight yesterday. I guess you all saw the fight yesterday. It's going to be very, very interesting to hear you lot's thoughts in there. Mikey, how you doing? Too blessed. Big up yourself as well. Let me see where this brother is, because like people trying to take liberties on this thing. So like I'm saying, how did you lot see the fight last night? I thought it was a very entertaining fight. I thought it was an intriguing fight. I thought both men handled themselves really well. I was there ringside. Let me say massive big up to Boxer for sorting out my tickets. Also to Dan. Oh, Nathan Bailey's coming straight saying, like, what are your thoughts on Ben Whitaker? I'm going to be real with you. I thought Ben Whitaker was very, very entertaining. I think he's a very good prospect. And I mean a very good prospect. He throws really good, sharp combinations. He wasn't showboating as much as we've seen in the past. I think maybe someone's had a word with him to say, listen, you need to kind of calm down. He's sticking more to business. I thought his punch repertoire was incredible. All the credit in the world should be given to Ben Whitaker. I think most of us are kind of sitting down and saying, like, we'd like to see this young man's progression and see what he does. Let me just see where this brother is. 1 second, because we do have a guest. And he's in already. The Roy Orbison of boxing.
I told you. You stop that or I'll start abusing you, the man who invented boxing.
Yeah, I did invent boxing. That's the honest truth. I was there when it was invented. You know what I mean? I was there. Gareth, what's going on, man?
Well, as you know, I chatted to you earlier. I've been bike riding in Cambridge today, enjoying the wind and the cold weather. I've just jumped into the shower to get clean and fly ready for your show. And a couple of others I've got to do tonight. Sunday night, normally I've got everything done by now, but it's great to be with you this evening because it was a really, really big weekend for boxing from Fridays onwards, Spencer, as you know.
Yeah, let's just wrap it up really quickly because I know you don't have long because I know you're going to do Sean Porter's take in a bit as well. So
I've got 15 minutes for you, brother. I've got 15
minutes. That's even better. That's what I need. You know what I mean? Yes. NRP services, thank you so much. I scored it 9-3 for Boatsy. Do you think the commentary was biased in favor of Aziz? I didn't listen to the commentary because I was there ringside. Was you there? I didn't see you there yesterday, Gareth.
No, I was working from home last night. I've had a couple of weeks off. I'm back on broadcast duty from Tuesday onwards. I watched it all from home. Had the monitors on because DAZN was clashing with Boxer and Sky Sports. I thought it was a little bit favouring Dan Aziz. They were talking him up quite a lot in the commentary. But I scored it 116-109. And I think apart from the two terrible slips for Dan in the 11th? But you've got to count them, frankly, because he got hit and he went down. Because it would have been the same for Boatsy. If he'd slipped in those two rounds and he'd lost to 10-7, it would have been a very close swing fight then. But I thought Boatsy bossed it all the way through, if I'm fair.
He did. But the thing about it is this, even though he bossed it, Dan Aziz was making it competitive.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he's making it competitive. And I was like, my analogy of this fight is like, Joshua Boatsy did, I think before Joshua Boatsy had like a kind of identity crisis. And I think now in the fight he had last night, he's actually found who he is. Because sometimes when you get a new trainer, it takes about 5 fights for you to get your identity. It's taking a little while for him to find himself. But I believe now that he has actually found himself. He reminded me a lot of Ezra Charles, who's like, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest like heavyweight of all time. Even though I became heavyweight champion, he reminded me.
That's a big conversation. That's an hour. An hour on another day. You've got the and everyone to bring in there. I mean,
I was soundly impressed with him. I was also impressed with Dan Aziz because, you know, I mean, Dan is the archetypal 80s fighter. So we had a 50s fighter versus an 80s fighter last night. And you know what? Credit to both men. Credit to the people of South London that came all the way out to Wembley. The fact that people left the boxing arena, there was no trouble, there was no, it was really, really good. Let's flip the page now. If we're to go on, did you see Ben Whitaker's fight?
I did.
What did you think of Ben Whitaker, sir?
Well, I'm always critical of Ben, both to his face and out there, that the showboating.
I rate that because loads of people
I love him as well. He's a phenomenal kid. He looks like he grows every time you stand next to him physically. How he squeezes that Adonis frame into 175, I just don't know. And it may get harder for him as he gets a little older. Can't wait for 7 or 8 more fights when he's fighting all these guys because they will test him against Yard, Boatsy, Aziz, and Lyndon Arthur. Because he is like a young Nazim Hamed in lots of ways. He carries the arrogance. He flips the switch on and flips the script on how he wants to dance in the ring. You can't really do a pirouette. They're right to take the point away from him last night. I think it was Bob Williams. I think it was Bob Williams was reffing that. But he's supremely talented. You know yourself, Spencer. You cannot mess around. You don't play boxing. You can't mess around in a ring if you're not that good. And he's very, very, very good. There's no question about it. But we don't know yet. We don't know yet how good he's going to be. We don't know yet how good Boatsy, by the way, is going to be at that better BF Bivol yard level. Because I'm sorry, but there's another level or two yet. And sometimes I want to see another. Just listen, they both produced a great performance last night, just to go back to that to finalise. And they both showed ultimate respect as gentlemen warriors. Had a tear in my eye when they were together in the ring after. And Boatsy was pulling him in and he wouldn't let us Dan go. Those guys are genuine friends. But I love the friends to enmities to frenemies, if you like, for the night. Mm-hmm. Business. There's still two levels to go for Joshua Boatsy. In my view, to go to that better BF and Bivol level.
Yep. Big up Michael Reed for the $4.99. Thank you so much. First thing can I say is please don't sacrifice the stability of a boxer's stance. Too many boxers slipping on bloody adverts. Right.
No, it is right. Listen, he clearly lost his footing. But if you go down from a punch, I think it's unfair not to count it as a knockdown. It skewed. Look, it would have been 116, 111, 116, 114, 111, 115, 112 had it not been the two knockdowns. It was a much closer fight than the judges' cards and my own 116, 109.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one as well, Gareth, but it still makes no difference. Joshua Boatsy comprehensively won that fight last night. You know what I mean? Dan had a few good rounds, but subsequently he did lose the fight and he won't even complain about it. From my stance, I was just happy to see two young men who've come from where they've come from and who have amassed what they've amassed together. That was amazing. It was very, very touching for me to witness, to tell you the honest truth. And like, yeah, that's the major thing. It was really nice for me to witness that. Also, moving down, your friend Conor Benn. Last night, he put in a performance last night against some old Yardie man. I didn't even know the guy was Jamaican. Only afterwards I found, because in his shorts.
Pistol Pete.
Dobson. What did you think of that performance?
Well, Peter Dobson was tougher. We said he was tough going into it. He was known as a tough cookie. He wasn't defeated. But Ben didn't manage to really put a dent in him. He went hard for four rounds, couldn't break the guy. And Dobson was a rock in there. And obviously, Conor Benn won the rounds easily. It's good for him that he went 12 rounds. But I think where people are going to ask questions now is, notwithstanding the appeal hearing still hanging over his head, has he really got enough power at welterweight to go beyond where he is right now? Forget the Haney fights and really, in lots of ways, I don't want to say forget the Chris Eubank Jr. fight. And I spent time with Chris Eubank Sr. last week, who's adamant they must not fight and that Jr. mustn't boil down to middleweight again, even though he probably could. I just think there are question marks about Conor Benn's power at 147.
You know what? I have to agree with you, but maybe it's like when you're seething at the teeth to go again and to fight again, and you don't get the opportunity, and it's like you don't know what exactly was going on with your career, and then you get a chance to go and fight. You've got all this pent up in your head. What you're going to
do? Trying too hard. Yeah.
He's a talent.
He's a talent, a star. He's got all the qualities. He's a beautiful young man. There's no question about it. He's brilliant for the sport. I want to get this issue he's had for a long time out of the way. I'm blue in the face talking about it, I've got to be honest with you, this clomiphene issue. I really want him to do well. I would watch the Eubank Jr. and Ben fight based on history. I'd watch the Harlem Eubank fight and Ben fight. Like you said,
sorry to cut you in, Gareth, because I know you've got a goal in a bit, right? But listen, I would rather see Harlem Eubank at this stage against Conor Benn, especially after Conor Benn's performance last night. It's a closer fight. Before, it was very wide. I thought like Conor Benn would just walk through him. But the Conor Benn last night, I think Harlem Eubank could go in there and give him a decent fight.
Absolutely. Harlem's an artist. He's a craftsman. He's a beautiful mover. He's an old school boxer in lots of ways. Doesn't worry about his power. It's not about power for him. It's about craft. And we saw that in that performance in Brighton recently. And also, you'd probably make Conor Benn a big favourite in that. I'd love to see that as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, so would I. I would like to see that fight. Because like talking about fights.
Talking about you and me, where's Tunde tonight?
No, because Yard's fighting next week. So Tunde doesn't come on the show in a duration of time. He's actually behind the scenes right now because our guy Manny who sorts out things is not there. Joe Barrow, thank you very much. Evening Spence, Gareth. What here it goes. What a class dust up. John and Dan, Josh. I can see it now. Sorry. Yeah, Josh and Dan, so much respect for the gentleman inside and out of the ring. The canvas needed to be wiped properly. Both were able to go home safely, and that's the major thing.
Absolutely right. Good move, Joe. Good comments. It was one of those unusual ones. I remember when Zhili Zhang and Flip Hergovich fought in Saudi Arabia, and those two slipped around for several rounds and couldn't hold their footing. It is an issue sometimes. It's an unusual one. That's not normally a really hot arena at Wembley Arena. I don't recall people slipping and sliding on the canvas. But, you know, both these guys, maybe water was being poured on them a lot. Like you say, what we've got to say is that those slips that, because he was touched as he went down, they were judged as knockdowns. But, you know, I'm glad they both went home safely and friends again as well.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, 100%. Also, Gareth, there's been talk that the Qatar royal family are advisor to the royal family Mohammed Al Bin Sherry is they are looking to make Joshua Boatse and Anthony Yard out in Qatar, right? And it's like reported 5 million put down. You have to talk to Tunde in depth to find out that. What would your thoughts be on Joshua Boatse and Anthony Yard in Qatar?
It's a 50-50. I think I see Anthony as the favourite based on what we've seen of him in recent times. I think he's got more power than Boatse. And he's going to push Boatse into a dogfight because that's the way he does it. I think there were moments, there were a couple of... This is why it was a good fight with Dan Aziz last night. Agree with me or not on this. There were a couple of moments in that fight, just chinks of light in the door, where Bawatsi was stopped in his tracks a couple of times by Dan Aziz.
Yeah,
and he looked very fatigued in 8 or 9 as well for me. Suddenly very fatigued. And he doesn't use a lot of footwork. He doesn't move around a lot. He plants very heavily to throw. I do see Anthony Yard as the favourite in that fight.
You know what? I ain't going to disagree with you, but I do agree that it's going to be a very, very good fight. Lastly, because I know you've got to go, Gareth, and I'm grateful that you actually phoned me to this. Spence, I can't remember Charleston, right?
No, because you've asked me about 6 times on a Sunday night and I've either been asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not available, or too exhausted. And I felt very bad about it because we've been friends a long time. And I'm always happy.
Very, very long time. People don't realize, like, we were out in Las Vegas together 2008.
John Calzaghe and
Bernard Hopkins.
Bernard Hopkins. 2009, that was, wasn't it?
2008, the fight was. 2008.
Just after you'd retired from boxing.
5 years after I retired from boxing.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. But yeah, it was the good old days. But I'm saying, what's going on with the Tyson Fury pull out, then back on, Turkey Al Sheikh putting people in their place? Tell me what's going on there. Tell the listeners of the Fight Is Right, because you have your ear to the ground.
On Friday afternoon, I was in touch with the people in Tyson Fury's camp. They told me it was genuine, that stuff would come out, photos and videos would be out. They said 15 stitches at the time. Tyson Fury corrected it to 11 on that call with Ariel Helwani on MMA Fighting's MMA Hour last night. What I thought about the situation was clearly, you know, Fury's got his haters out there, the conspiracy theorists. But what Turkey Al Sheikh did brilliantly last night was to get them all together on a call and say, look, here's the reality. Here he really is. I'm pledging my faith in this being genuine right here. He showed he knows how to handle a situation, create the jeopardy around the next event, put pressure on Fury to come back on May the 18th, because that could reopen easily in a fight now by May the 18th. Pressure's on Fury. Pressure's on with that £10 million forfeit or $10 million forfeit, £8 million. It just shows that they're genuine about it. And you can see that all those people that say Fury runs scared from Usyk, I don't believe that. You're not going to run scared at 2 weeks' notice, being in training camp from the biggest fight and biggest payday of your life, when you can cement your legacy in the division. There's 2 fights anyway that they're signed for. So I don't see it. You can't, when you're that far into your career, someone like Fury does not fear Alexander Usyk. He's training for him. These guys are professionals. They've been doing it 20 years, 25 years. Here's the key. Yes, he might lose to Usyk. Now he might lose from a cut to Usyk. That fight will either go ahead or he'll have to forfeit $10 million. I think he does want to fight Usyk. I think he will fight Usyk. These things happen in boxing. The conspiracy theorists won't go away. But the idea that someone's cut his eye deliberately to get out of fight is absolutely ludicrous.
Foolishness. I mean, that's what that is.
You know, the interesting scenario is if one of them does pull out now, it's going to be Joshua, you know, which is fascinating. The Warren Hearn thing is going to go ahead on June the 1st on the undercard of Better Be Evan and Bivol. What His Excellency Turkey Al Sheikh showed was that he knows how to handle a situation that needs PRing. He did it brilliantly last night. And what fans saw was his genuine passion for the sport last night and for delivering for fans. You cannot deny that.
Nobody can.
I think Egis Klimas had a bit of egg on his face last night.
He did.
In my view.
I'm just like, Egis, the one thing I have to give Egis, he's very good at this PR drive, you know? He's very, very good at it. I've got to give him his dues. But he just got trumped by Turkey Al Sheikh. Like, Turkey Al Sheikh was like, as we do in Domino's in the West Indies, like, double deuce, done the game. you know what I mean, it's been fantastic talking to you because I know that you've got another podcast to jump on. I don't want to take liberties with your time, Gareth. Hopefully, I'll see you.
We'll do another longer one soon. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. Is it this Tuesday or next week Tuesday? I'm going to see you at TalkSport.
No, we could do some stuff this week on TalkSport for this brilliant $1 million you've raised for your refugees in the Middle East. It's a brilliant project. I don't like conflict in that way.
Really. Neither do I.
It's very, very upsetting, but praise to you and mashallah, as you would say, for the things you've done for people, the money you're raising.
Come on. Ewa, Gareth, I will see you on Tuesday. You and Eddie, you take care. God bless. Thank you so much for joining the Fight Is Right. Gareth A. Davis. I keep on teasing that he's a Roy Orbison of boxing, but he's not because Gareth can't sing.
No, Roy.
Peace, two fingers. Thank you so much for joining us, Gareth.
Cheers, my brother. Absolute pleasure.
Take care,
Cheers.
Bro.
Cheers.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was Gareth A. Davis. I'm glad that you enjoyed that one. We're going to run through on join up with some other... Hold up, one second. I just got to do this little thing here. Turn this on and let's see what we can do here. Here we go. Da, 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 da. Who else would you guys like to hear from? Like, you guys can join me in the comments and say, like, who you want to hear from. You know, the Black Book's got Black Book powers. And we'll just take it from there. What were your thoughts on the fight last night? Joshua Boatse Deniz. What do you think that the future holds? Boom. Let's talk about the two heavyweights who have blessed this show, Woodley and Big Fraser Clark. Correction, the two blessed. Woodley hasn't blessed it, but Woodley will come on the show. And he's going to come on the show. I think he's coming on Tuesday. Chris Eubank Sr. is a little bit busy, but hold up 1 second. Let me just see if I can go grab him right now. 1 second. Bear with me, right, ladies and gentlemen? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. If I get the legend, because you don't know what he's doing, he could be very busy. Ricky Wallace is saying, call Frank Bruno. I could do. Shagon is saying Lennox Lewis would be nice. It would be. We had Lennox on last week. Was it last week or the week before? We had Lennox Lewis on. Nigel Benn, let's go through some other ones. Get Eubank Sr. That guy never fails to entertain. Very true. Joshua is not that good against Aziz. Ron Pickering, I'm seeing up. There's a couple of names that you guys are frying up. I'm just getting a message back from the legend himself. And we're just going through some more guys. Andre Ward, don't let them fight. Better be Ev. Okay. I hear that. Dan is would be a decent person to hear from. Dan fought so gallantly yesterday. And people should not forget that at all. I don't know where Dan's head's at right now, so it's one of them ones there. Do I really want to... I'm not too rightly sure that I want to bother him right now. Okay, someone's saying James Cook. Yeah, James Cook would be kind of cool as well. Someone out here is saying Barry Hearn. Someone else is saying... What is this? Buster Mathis Jr., Riddick Bowe, Joel Sane, Herbie Hyde, etc., etc. get the legends on. We had Riddick Bowe on, when do we have him on? We had him on a couple of weeks ago. Lloyd Hannigan would be good. You know what? You know, you're saying Mick Hennessy, Alfie Black. With Mick Hennessy, I saw Mick Hennessy yesterday. His daughter got a very good win yesterday as well. Mick's kind of, he don't really do interviews anymore. It's like, since like, Mick's not about, yeah, you know what? You just, Ricky Wallace, thank you so much. May I say a massive rest in peace to Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed in, from Rocky and Rocky 2, Rocky 3 to Rocky 4, who played the character of Apollo Creed, who passed away at 67 years old. I think it was on Friday he passed away. Massive shock to people because we didn't even know that he was ill. But Carl Weathers, I mean, there's a couple of films that stood out for me with Carl Weathers, apart from the Rocky film. Do you remember, does anybody on here remember the film Action Jackson? Does anybody remember that movie? Where he plays like a private detective. Anyone remember that movie? And yeah, we also, he was Dylan in Predator. What year did that come out? That came out in 89. What a film that was. I love business. The original Predator, yeah, was one of the best. Okay. I just seen that. I just saw that come up. Thank you very much. Tundi is not maybe doing bits, but I know it's Tundi that's put that up. Thank you very much, Bobby Wright, for the $4.99. What's Kell Brook doing? Is he fighting or is he retiring? That is a very, very good question. I'd like to know that one. Let me go see. I know he's managed by his father. And we'll find out the gossips then. Because you lot want to know. Let me go see. I can just rig up this thing so you lot can see what's going on. Yeah, just bear with me one moment here. Because for $4.99, I think that's a decent question there. Here we go. Let me see what's going on here. No, it's this one here. That's the one that I want. One second. Here we go. Got that up there here. Yep, we're now connected. Let me just disturb people because that is a very serious question there that you just asked. So it's only right for me. Oh, Carlos, thank you so much for the €5.99. Hi, sir. Respect you. Random question. Do you believe that Dylan White will find his way back into the Saudi money in the mix? Is Shakur retiring? That's what Shakur Stevenson came out with, that he's actually retired. Do I actually believe that Shakur Stevenson is retired? No, I don't. I think he had a bad performance his last fight out. Got a lot of people saying a lot of negative stuff about him. And he may be sitting there thinking, well, you guys ain't appreciating the skill level that I've got. And you know what? I'm gone from boxing. But I don't believe that he can retire right now because of how much money he's in. Thank you so much for telling me that Predator was in 1987. Happy go lucky. And the reason why, I went to Jamaica on both occasions. In 89, I went to Jamaica because my grandma just passed away. In 87, we thought she was going to pass away. We went out there as well. So that's why. But I actually saw that film in Jamaica, in the cinema. You know what I mean? In Caribbean Theatre. If you know anyone in Jamaica knows, they know about Caribbean Theatre. So yeah, that's why I watched that movie. Big, but you know, that was a big boy movie. Chris Morrison, do you think it's, oh, that's meant to be Boatsy. Boatsy never knocked Dan out, so he never got suspended for 6 months. I don't rightly understand what you're saying. Do you think Boatsy never knocked Dan out? So I get what you're trying to say now. Because if you do get knocked out, you get suspended for, it's 28 days, it depends. It's 28 days, or it could, depending on how bad it or the severity, you get 3 months by the British Border Control rules. No, I don't think that at all. I think that Joshua Boatsy was actually trying to knock out Dan Aziz. I just think Dan Aziz is tougher than expected. Even Dan Aziz is tougher than expected, or Joshua Boatsy doesn't hit as hard as we believe that he hits. But I'm saying skill-wise, I was very, very impressed with both men and what they're demonstrating, and both men should take a massive bow. But no, I don't think Chris Morrison, in the back of his head, he was saying that, oh, no, I'm not going to knock this guy out. If he had the opportunity to knock him out, he would have done so. It's just the fact that he couldn't knock him out. And that's what I'm saying. All the credit should be given. All the credit should be given to... all the credit should be given to Dan Aziz for how he performed in that fight. Soul Boy is saying Frazier versus Woodley is a very juicy fight. It's an immensely juicy fight. It got announced yesterday at the show by a boxer live on Sky Sports that these two men will be going at it for the British heavyweight title. And I think it's a great fight simply because we got two. Oh, what's that? Honey Badger 83 says, good evening, Spence. I'm just here to support the thing and the show. Love as always. Big up the knowledge. Blessing us with the knowledge. I would love to hear from Prince Nassim Hamed. How do you think Boatsy will get on against Yard? I'm biased on the Yard question versus anybody who fights him. Listen, they could dig up Roy Jones right now, but Andy Yard, prime Roy Jones, I'm still going, anything Andy Yard, you know, is you believe the comment and you stick with your guys. That's how it is. You stick with your guys. But I actually really do like Joshua Boatsy. I think he's a very, very cool human being. And I wish both of these guys the best of luck. Hopefully they can get some of that Qatar money, because $5 million for goal split, like for these two men to go fight for British title. And it would be nice for Anthony Yard to actually fight for the British title, even though both men are incredibly world-class fighters and they're both in the top five in the world. I think it'd be great for these men to go and fight for the British title. Historically, I think it's beautiful. What's that? At Taz says, Spencer, do you believe White will return? Shall he be? He must be peed about Saudi money. He dashed about. Well, you're obviously talking about all the money that's going on right now. And would Dylan White be peed? We haven't really heard from Dylan. And to tell you the truth, when people are going through things, I'm not the one to always be constantly be phoning and all the rest of it. Dylan, I support Dylan. I hope that things go full circle for him and he comes out successful in whatever dramas that he's going through right now about the supposed allegations that are going on about him. But anybody would repeat right now, because Dylan's right in the mix. That's the truth. He is. But you know what? My thing is this. The guy who I think is really peed away his career, right? I'm just going to be totally honest about it, is Michael Hunter. I think Michael Hunter is a really good fighter, and I would like to know what Michael Hunter is doing with his career right now. I would really, really like to know what he's doing with his career. But, you know, it is what it is. This is the game. That is it. What Mickey Dubs says, Spence, what about the Allen female welterweight champion from Leytonstone? You know what? That's a good one. I wonder if I've got them in my black book. Let me go and see what is going on. Yeah, what? You know what? We've got a really good one. I'm going to send that a link to you guys to see who else is going to go jump on. Let's talk about some boxing. Let's put the link up. Can we put the link up there, my brother, Tundi, who's behind camera? I know you're studying as well. Don't like to disturb you. But yeah, let's see what's happening. Zoom, we're going to put up a link. Anybody want to come in here to go talk some boxing? Let's talk some boxing. Where's the link, Tim? You put the link. Oh, the link's there. So the link's there. Anybody want to jump on? We've got 22 minutes left of the show to have a good little wrap about the game. Oh, 1 second. Yo, champ. Hello? Yo, champ. What's the matter with this thing? Hello, hello? This blinking technology. Ugh. I don't even know. Just said 1 second. Here we go again. Hello?
Yo, Spencer.
How you doing, mate?
How you doing, mate?
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Terence Crawford on the line. 1 second, Terence. I'm just going to put you onto the so you can get you properly, so the people can hear from the pound for pound number one fighter in the whole wide world, Mr. Bud Terence Crawford. How's everything going, your end, champ?
How you doing, mate?
I'm good, Terence. We'd like to know, Terence, what exactly is going on for you right now, Chair?
Well, nothing's really going on with me right at the moment. I'm just playing a little Call of Duty, chilling with me family.
Well, listen, because there's talk about you getting in the ring. There's talk about you and Canelo.
Who talk about me and Canelo?
Listen, everybody's talking about you and Canelo. We saw your guy, Timothy Bradley, saying how you duo Canelo. There's talk about there's a possibility that the Canelo fight could happen. I see Stephen A. Smith speak about it. You know what I mean? I've said this from ages that I believe that you'd beat Canelo because of you're too skilled and you're big and you're a strong guy.
Sure, that's a good fight. That's the biggest fight in boxing right now. I think that's a... competitive fight. I think you got two of the best fighters in this decade, in this era, since Floyd Mayweather and Andre Ward retired. I think that's the biggest fight to be made in boxing right now.
Yeah, no doubt. You see, like, in your fight, this because we spoke briefly, but we haven't spoken on the show about your tremendous win that you got last year against Errol Spence. How did you make that fight so easy?
Well, you gotta understand. That's the fight that I've been calling for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just me believing in my skills, my ability, my work ethic, inside and outside the ring, I knew that was going to give me the advantage over Errol Spence. He's a talented fighter. He's big. He's strong. He's tremendous. But I just had the faith that he wasn't better than Terrence Crawford. So come fight night, I just had to prove all the doubters wrong and prove all the believers right.
Well, that you certainly did. I think that's one of the best displays of boxing that I've seen in a very, very long time. Like, so it's like, if you had, in your ideal world, right, who's the guys that you'd like to chop down right now? Because they took, I think it was a grotesque liberty of the IBF stripping you of that crown. Even though I rate Boost in this, but I think, like, you're the current guy. I think he's next generation. But how did you feel about that happening to you?
Well, you know, the IBF decided to do some bullcrap like they did. You know, it was shameful for their organization to do such thing, and it was on them. But all in all, I got what I came for, and that was to be undisputed welterweight champion of the world. And I've been blocked from that accomplishment for about 5 years. And last year was the year that I was able to secure that goal and that mission that I set forth when I stepped foot in the welterweight division to become welterweight champion of the world, undisputed. I did that, and so be it. So they stripping my title. Didn't strip anything really from me because I got what I came for.
And also, champ, like, how does it feel to be pound for pound the best fighter in the world? How does that make you feel inside?
Well, it don't make me feel anything, being that I already stated years ago that I felt as if I was number one pound for pound fighter in the world. Politics played a big factor in why they wasn't crowning me pound for pound fighter, best fighter in the world. But I've been saying it for years. Since Andre Ward retired, I already stated Terrence Crawford is pound for pound number one boxer in the world. Being that Floyd Mayweather retired and Andre Ward retired. But no, they want to give it to Lomachenko and Canelo and all these other guys. But, you know, I just sat back and did what I was supposed to do, like I was always doing. The cream always rises to the top. And they see now that Terrence Crawford was and still is one of the best fighters in the world in this era.
I remember a few years ago when you came over to do the press tour where you was up to fight Amir Khan, right? And I remember Bob Arum saying, like, you're the best thing that he's seen since Sugar Ray Leonard. And he, like, these were his words. Now, there's a lot, and I'm saying, well, you kind of left out some guy because he left out Floyd Mayweather, because you used to promote Floyd Mayweather as well, but he left him out. I want to say, like, there's a lot of fantasy matchups now, yeah? How do you think you'd have done against Floyd Mayweather, Terrence? Prime for prime, because a lot of people are talking about it.
I think I'll match up against any of the greats. You know, Floyd Mayweather paved the way for Terrence Crawford, and I've learned so much from Floyd Mayweather and his work ethic and, you know, the way he goes about dismantling his fighters, his opponents that he's up against, and confidence, and just the skills that he opposed, you know. But me and my abilities and my confidence, you know, I feel as if there's great fighters that came before me, and I just want to pay homage to them. But at the same time, I just feel as if those fights was in today's age, I think I'd do real well with any of those guys.
You know what? That's a beautiful way. You're showing humility in there as well. I like that, because I always knew from age, when you came to the UK to fight Ricky Burns, I remember doing a tactical breakdown for that. And I remember being in my house with my guy Tundi, who trains Anti Yard, and watching loads of your fights because I had to do the tactical breakdown on Sky. And I knew you was going to beat Ricky Burns because like, he was just multifaceted. But to see how you've just been continuous with it, I think the thing that makes you really exciting is the fact that you actually want to knock out fighters. Like, I reckon you could outbox for loads of guys, but you want to knock him out.
You doing it? Yeah. You said what? Say that again?
No, I'm saying, like, the way you fight, you are active. You are active. Like, you could outbox most guys, but you like to score the knockout. Where does that streak, that tenacious streak in you, where does that come from?
It was just how I was born. You know, I've always been the type of fighter that wanted to close the show when he put on a great performance. I think most of it come from when I was younger. I used to get robbed a lot, you know, in the amateur. So those close fights, you know, normally will go to the guy that had the biggest name going forward. So when I turned professional, I always would make it a point to where if I can control the outcome of the fight by stopping one of my opponents, mm-hmm. then that would be the best bet to ensure that I wouldn't have to deal with the politics behind boxing.
Okay. Because Terrence is like, who do you base your style on? Because I see quite a few fighters in you. When I see you fight, I see bits of Pernell Whitaker in you. I see bits of Floyd in you. I see bits of Sugar Ray in you. I see a little bit of Roy Jones. Because you got a very unique style, which is, it's a beauty to watch. But where did you pick this up from?
Well, I wouldn't say I picked my style up from anywhere. I just like to be me.
Okay.
I never came into a boxing and said, oh, I want to be like this guy.
Okay.
I said, I like that guy and I want to, you know, show that move for him or show this move for him. But at the same time, I never wanted to be like anyone. I wanted to have my own style. If you can go back to all the interviews that I've done, they will always say, you know, who you want to be like, who you imitate. And I always used to tell them, like, I want to be Terrence Crawford. I want to be the next Terrence Crawford. I want to be the next Floyd Mayweather or Roy Jones Jr. Even though those was my idols, I always wanted to be Terrence Crawford.
Beautifully, beautifully answered, champ. So, like, what's next for you? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Right now, we working on some things, and, you know, hopefully you can get it figured out. And from there, you know, have probably one or two more fights, and, you know, we're going to hang it up.
Okay, because I'm saying in the UK, you've got like some of the most knowledgeable boxing people, and a person just asked me a question here, NR Cleaning Services, they're saying, when is Terrence Brad Crawford coming to the UK for a meet and greet? Because I hear that something's muted. So when are you coming over, boy?
I don't know. You know, right now I'm having a lot of big things going on. But when I get the time, I'll most definitely come and do a meet and greet.
Yeah, because the people are hollering out to say they want to see you, champ. They want to see Terrence Crawford. They want to see the pound for pound number one. It's incredible that you being a pound for pound number one, how you created boxing legacy. You know what I mean? You've been a two-way undisputed world champion. As far as I'm concerned, undeniably, the pound for pound number one. I don't think no guy can come close to you. I think the closest guy to it would be Inouye, but you beat him stars. You beat him big guys. You look at your resume. Your resume is a serious resume. You know what I mean? How do you feel to know that you've beaten all of these guys? Because, like, myself, I'm honored to say that I can just pick my phone up and phone, like, the pound for pound number one in the world. You know, how does it make you feel?
He just muted the phone. Maybe it's by accident. I'm not rightly sure.
This is something that I always knew I was. You know, it's just the point that the fans, they know now. So I don't get surprised. I don't feel no type of extra way about it because I always was sure who I was in the inside. I didn't need nobody to really tell me or make me feel like I was, you know, the best fighter in the world because I already felt as if I was the best fighter in the world.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, I don't want to hold you up because I'm so grateful that you've jumped on today, champ. But, like, there's talk of Shakur Stevenson. Well, Shakur Stevenson put out a quote saying that he's actually retired from boxing. I know this young man really looks up to you. Like, hopefully...
He's good. He just, you know what I mean, frustrated with the sport. He want to fight the best. Mm. You know, he's going to be all right. He just got to go through his little motions, and he'll be back.
Yeah, good. I hope so, because I think that would be a grotesque waste of talent if he was to walk away from boxing right now, especially right now as an undefeated boxer. And the fact that he's a world champion again, and imagine he's a very young man, he's a freeweight world champion. I think it'd be sacrilege if he was to stop boxing, especially right now with all of the big money coming in from Saudi Arabia. Don't you want to go get some of that Turkey Al Sheikh money, Terrence?
Hey, if the right offer come across the table, we're going to Saudi Arabia.
Okay, champ. You know what, Terrence? I'm not going to keep you any longer. I want to say thank you so much for, as far as I'm concerned, still the undisputed, undefeated world welterweight champion of the world and the pound for pound number one king, dream it, believe it, become it, Terrence Bud Crawford. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so, so much. Love, my friend. Big up.
All right, peace out.
And I like your English accent, bro. It's very good. Yep, there you go. That was Terrence Crawford online. And you know what? Tundi put it out there to say, right, let's get people on. And I'm telling you the honest truth. I bloody miss Tundi on the show with me, you know. I swear down, I miss that shiny face, bleached out white tooth, brother. I miss him so much. I even told him that today. But you know what? The show has been a good show today. You know what I mean? Andre Ward, one is saying, love you, Crawford. Can't believe it. Yeah, Crawford is just on the show. But yeah, it's mad. The Black Belt Powers, as Tundi keeps on saying, there's nobody that we can't get hold of. It is impossible. Thank you very much, John. Trust me again. John has just said, yes, we miss you. What's that? Miss Levy H is saying that's brotherhood. Yeah, it is brotherhood. Yeah, I miss my bro, man. He's my guy. But even though he's in camp, he's in study, you know the rules. A week before, like on a run-up to the fight, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, do not call Tundi at all. Don't call him because he ain't having it. He ain't talking to nobody. He doesn't want to talk to no one. But you can see what's just come up there. Tundi saying give everyone a follow. Half Past Fashion said, I miss him too. LOL Spence, we shall not slander Tundi's pearly whites in his absence. No, I have to cuss his white teeth. The man's bleaching his teeth. I'm telling you, them teeth are too white. I don't understand what's going on. You see when Tundi smiles, you got to do that. It's mad. But it has been a good one. Spencer, are you sipping that gin and juice again? No, I'm not sipping that gin and juice again. Joe Barrow says, Spence, yeah, you're doing a grand job. Thank you very much. I know I am. You know what? I'm seeing this, Spence, what's my take on Ben versus Tank? There is no take. I just got to be real. And I like Conor Ben. The performance that Conor Ben put in yesterday wouldn't be enough to say that you're going in with Tank Davis right now. But
what I am going to say is this. Similarly to his father, after losing to Michael Watson in April of 1989 in Finsbury Park, he, in a tent, he went out to America and had quite a few fights out there. He fought Jose Quinones, who he banged out. But then he fought a tough American guy called Sandaline Williams. And Sandaline Williams took Nigel Benn to points. Right? They fought for 10 rounds, but it was promoted by Bob Arum. And it wasn't the best Nigel Benn. But what it was learning for Nigel Benn. Subsequently, two more fights after that, he becomes the WBO world middleweight champion by knocking out Doug DeWitt in 8 rounds after getting knocked down in the 4th round. And that was April of 1990. It's mad how things go in cycles. So that's what happened. That's what happened with Nigel Benn. And sometimes you do need those tough fights. If you look at this Dobson character, he was undefeated in 16 fights. I think he had 10 knockouts, if I'm correct. And sometimes you need these hard fights. But I'm being real, even though Conor, I regard as a friend, as a lovely human being. I haven't watched a fight in full, but the stories I was getting from people, that was a subpar performance from Conor Benn. I don't know because I didn't watch the fight in its full, but I will watch the fight after I jump off of the show. I have 2 minutes left because you're only getting an hour from me. But when I do watch the fight, then we could take it from there and see what else happens, which is going to be interesting. It's like I'm saying, it's an interesting time for boxing right now. We do have Marcus Jackson said Chris Billings Smith versus Richie Rapport, big fight. That fight, what date is that muted for? I think that fight is muted for, I think it's April. Not April. Is it April or May? I believe. That's a big boy fight. I'm looking forward to that. Chris Billings Smith has subsequently become the WBO Cruiserweight Champion and defended his title successfully. And now he's got to go up and fight. I'll be looking forward to that fight because it is a rematch. And we'll see who's getting brought to the table. What's that? E. Francis is saying, big up Spence for keeping the fight is right going. Blessed. Trust me, I'm keeping it going simply because that is what we do. And I'm grateful for the attention that the show is getting and the gravitas. I was down at the fight yesterday, and as soon as I was walking through, everyone's saying, Where's Tundi? So it's mad. We are a proper Batman and Robin. You know what I mean? And yeah, I miss my bro. I can't wait for him to come back on the show. Ricky Wallace, keeping it 100, Spence. That's all I know to do, my friend. That is all I know to do. Andre Ward saying Tank versus Shakur Stevenson. Terence Crawford versus Charlo. Same card. That has to be some big money. But, you know what I mean? It's only, the only one I know has got that kind of money is Turkey Al-Sheikh. What else am I seeing up on here? Yeah, Paul Wilson, big up yourself as well. Big up every single person that's been on the show. So we did have a really good show today. We had Gareth A. Davis from TalkSport. I just about forgot there. You know what I mean? Yeah, we had Gareth A. Davis on. Look up this person. Right, we did have... Sure. My apologies there. Yeah, we did have Gareth A. Davis on earlier. And we were also blessed to have the pound for pound king, Terence Crawford, on the show. And I'm going to end in the famous words of Baba Tunde Ajayi. Dream it, believe it, become it. Come on up. Peace, two fingers. Have a fabulous week ahead. And do not forget to tune in this Saturday as the beast from the east, Mr. Anti Yard, comes right back into the fold. You lot have a beautiful week. Take care. God bless.
Sports Social Podcast Network.